All right. So Riley and I are here for our Monday night NH Exit session. And I have a bunch of things lined up here that we can talk about.
Excellent. Let's dive right into it.
Okay. So something that came up a few days ago, 6 days ago, Mark Edge from Free Talk Live posted this on forum.shiresociety.com. And I thought this was interesting. He posted in the NH Exit section there. He said, "I have a prediction regarding NH Exit that I would like to gauge reaction to." So he says, "The setting is this. You are in an imaginary world in the near future where Granite Staters actually get to vote on secession, instead of their leaders making the choice for them. Despite the media and the establishment hating the idea, polls show 66 plus percent support, 2 months out from the vote. Then a group of, quote, white supremacists, they all have matching boots and no one knows where they came from or live, are setting fire to government buildings and cop cars, chanting NH Exit. Make NH free now. We are Free Staters. You get the idea. Do you think this will negatively affect secession chances?" What do you think of that part there, right there, Riley?
I think it's interesting, like he's bringing up this hypothetical where people are like quote unquote white supremacists, because the white supremacists are the bad guys right now. And he's bringing these people up to say, oh, well, they could come to New Hampshire. This is a hypothetical. They could come to New Hampshire and burn government buildings. And maybe that could be true, and maybe that could happen. But regardless, burning government buildings isn't going to bring us any more freedom, but that could definitely, if it happened, that would definitely be used as ammo to make it look like New Hampshire is a bunch of radicals are going insane and they hate the government and this is why we need to stop them. So I can understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, if you want to present a violent hypothetical where people are going to do violent things in order to make it look like New Hampshire independence is a crazy radical movement, then maybe rethink your hypotheticals, because I don't think that that could happen unless these white supremacists are hired by the government to do so.
Yeah, when I read this, when Mark put it and the way he writes it, then a group of, white supremacists, and he has in parentheses, they all have matching boots and no one knows where they came from or live. I take this as Fed guys posing as our supporters.
Oh, of course. I mean, there are agent provocateurs everywhere in every movement. So it's most likely that these are agent provocateurs or the feds doing a psyop on the
Yeah,
American people or the people of New Hampshire.
and I think between now and when we're successful with our NH Exit campaign, I think this will happen. I think the federal government is going to put people that won't even be people that are in our movement necessarily, people that we don't even know, that'll do something like this. I think something like this will happen. Whether it might happen multiple times, I think that's going to happen.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be used as propaganda to steer the American people in a direction that makes it look like, hey, we can't support New Hampshire breaking away from the United States. Look at these violent radicals opposing the
Yeah,
government.
because we've had that where and it says, he asked, "Do you think this will negatively affect secession chances?" I think it'll be horrible for us. It'll be really bad for us because
Sure,
most people won't
absolutely.
be able to see through that. I mean,
Yeah,
some guys will be able to.
most people are used to having the media feed them propaganda and tell them the truth or whatever, and they're not willing to look at the possibility that, oh, the media could be lying to me, the government could be lying to me.
Yeah. So here's the next paragraph he has. "Add to that, the Fed started a disinformation campaign that claims that not only will New Hampshire banks not be able to do business in the U.S., U.S. banks won't be able to do business in New Hampshire. All government checks, including Social Security, will be discontinued to traitors, in quotes, and every other dastardly lie they can concoct. Do you think that will negatively affect New Hampshire's chances? What do you think about that?
Sure, but sure, it definitely will, because that is a fear tactic that governments will employ to create this atmosphere of fear around the whole idea of New Hampshire independence or any state breaking away. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens, but definitely it's going to be a smear tactic. Like, you know, the war between the states, or what people call the Civil War, was definitely an interesting experience in propaganda, because maybe the North fired on Fort Sumter, or someone fired on Fort Sumter to provoke war. So it could have been a false flag, and the federal government's going to do all sorts of false flags to keep New Hampshire from being independent.
Yeah, I could see something like that happening, because that's kind of how some things start. You know, we could have some of our guys start making their plans for their state militia or their, you know, state National Guard, or, you know, whatever they want to build up. And then that could be involving Fed assets, or feds could mix it in, and that could be happening before or afterwards. I don't know. I could see something like that happen. This specific thing of the banks and stuff, I don't know if that would happen before we left, but I would definitely think they would do that to us afterwards. I mean, they did it to the Russians right now.
Yeah.
And they already are acting like any of us that aren't okie dokie with everything the feds do are Russian, you know, Russian, like we work with Putin, you know. So I think they would do that. I think they would, you know, cut us out of their way of doing money, right? And make things hard on us. And then the other thing is, of course, all the thing about who gets government checks and Social Security. See, that's a whole nother thing. You know, we have people that are worried about secession, even if the U.S. government didn't do anything crazy, they'd still be worried about Social Security checks and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah, we get that also, all the time.
Also, realistically, if the feds start doing that, it would look really bad for them. Really bad for them. Because, you know, we're formerly American citizens, and we're breaking away from the most powerful empire in the world. Of course they're going to try stuff like this. But it shouldn't look bad for the federal government, because if it does, they've got to be really working hard to create a disinformation campaign to get the vast majority of Americans to go along with their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with this particular thing, I think I wouldn't be in favor of, you know, making it so that the people, you know, say we secede, the people that are living here, I wouldn't be wanting to force them to choose citizenship. If
I
people wanted to stay being U.S. citizens, well, I guess that will just happen. If the U.S. doesn't recognize those guys or something because they're here, I don't know, maybe that could happen. Also, I'm actively promoting even now for people that don't like this NHXit idea, move to Massachusetts or someplace where you can, if you don't like the idea of leaving the U.S., you know, it's going to be better for you to go over there if you want more socialism or you want to be part of the big government. You might as well go where the big government is, you know. So his next paragraph is basically what I am saying is that they fight dirty and we fight fair. And that lowers the already abysmal chances that New Hampshire has for secession. But I'm certainly wide open to arguments to the contrary. What do you think of that?
Well, I definitely agree that they'll fight dirty and fight very unfairly. So, yeah, let's talk about how to handle that. Let's prepare ourselves for that possibility.
Yeah, I would think, you know, they're going to fight dirty. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. There's going to be lots of lies and, you know, lots of campaigns that way. that sort of stuff. So he finishes this thing up with, by the way, I have been to multiple microstates, including Liechtenstein, San Marino, the Vatican, and Andorra, except for the ZEDEs in Honduras, which is some special zone, I think. He says, yep. If there was border security, it was always staffed by the larger state on the way out of this little microstate, not the little one on the way in. The U.S. could and likely would make it very difficult to leave New Hampshire. Expect the airport to close and that tiny bit of shoreline to be blockaded. What do you think of that?
I mean, those are real possibilities. Mark does speak from experience of traveling the world and things like that. But at the same time, if he's trying to deter us from New Hampshire independence, then I would say let's keep fighting for New Hampshire independence. Because if this happens, it's going to look really bad for the federal government. It's going to look really bad for the American people to see that people who want freedom, who are advocating the same things the founders of the United States fought for, you know, freedom, the ability to alter or abolish the political bands that hold them. If the feds start pulling things like the British did to incite violence, it's just going to look really, really bad. And, you know, unlike Britain and the United States fighting a war, there's no ocean to separate us. And they could definitely blockade their ports. They could definitely blockade a lot of things or closed airports or whatnot, but it's going to look really bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's his first big thing he posted. And let me read a lengthy thing from Leif Alexander is his handle on this forum. His response.
Okay.
He says, first, I don't think the, quote, white supremacists would be a problem. We currently have means to deal with such violence, and if we become our own country, we could have even stricter means of dealing with it. Second, this and all the actions that might be taken by the U.S. government, if predicted ahead of time, might well galvanize the citizens of New Hampshire to move ahead with secession. We already have problems getting out of New Hampshire sometimes. Do you remember the backup at the Canadian border a few years ago? Do you remember the travel restrictions in many states against going outside the state of residence? I think he's talking about during COVID. I think that if the U.S. tried to blockade entry and exit by any means, that there would be a real rebellion with much violence. We still have a border with Quebec. Quebec has its own secessionist movement. Anything the United States government would attempt would very likely backfire on them, I think. When the Founding Fathers were trying to draft a constitution, the Commerce Clause was included largely because of New Hampshire. New Hampshire got around the blockade set up by the official muckety-mucks and smuggled goods in through Canada. One way or another, New Hampshire would survive and even prosper, more so because of the actions of the U.S. than just because we would do it anyway. We could do it anyhow. And then he posts a thing that I posted in lots of places. And this will be in all of this will be in my blog post I put out tonight. On nhexit.org.
Okay.
There's a link to the New Hampshire Public Radio report that happened on November 9th of this year. And it was there. It's called A Firsthand Account of Being Caught Up in the New Hampshire Border Crisis. So people can check that out. That was there's people coming into New Hampshire from Canada, trying to escape Canada. Have you heard about this, Riley?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's...
I mean, I've heard about it. But, I mean, Canada is such a, you know, authoritarian country as in and of itself. I can understand why people want to leave or escape Canada.
I think that's what's happening. New Hampshire is a good place for it. I think it's because some of them... What's happening is they're finding that some of the richest people in Canada are trying to leave the last few months. They're kind of afraid of the next COVID lockdown, and they don't like what happened last time. So that's the kinds of people that are sneaking into different places. I don't know if most people know how the New Hampshire border with Canada works. The the big road that goes between New York City and Montreal doesn't go through, that goes through New York. And then there's a road that goes, I-91 goes along the, goes from like Hartford, Connecticut up, and it ends up in Quebec City. But that's along the New Hampshire and Vermont border. And when you get up near Canada, that's all Vermont. So there's no, and then there's RUS-3 that goes up through New Hampshire and crosses into Vermont. That goes up into Canada also. But that doesn't, you know, it, the last part going into Canada is in Vermont. So there is no big road that goes between us and Canada. There's just a teeny tiny road that goes between us and Canada that basically nobody uses. And there's a lot of woods, kind of like most of the border between Maine and Canada is just undefended. Mm-hmm. No, nothing. It's just woods. So I think these people were coming through the Vermont part, or maybe a little bit farther north and sneaking through the woods. I don't know, but that's the, wow. the thing. I don't, at this moment, I don't think the feds have any, if you wanted to sneak through the woods into Canada or into the United States, I don't think anybody would ever know that you did it. That's just my personal take on having been there. That sort of stuff. So the other thing, what's your reaction to what he said?
Lee. To this, it's hard to say. Like, I'm sure we could deal with white supremacists and whatnot, and so I'm not too worried about white supremacists. I'm more worried about the federal government pulling things like blockades or martial law or doing a psyop on the American people, pretending to bring in the military troops or whatever to quell rebellions that aren't really existing, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Agent provocateurs are the biggest threat.
Yeah. My first reaction to this was how it's interesting how there are some people that are already here in New Hampshire that have been here for a while, at least, who are fairly confident, like this guy, that it won't be that hard and that there's a lot of people in New Hampshire that would like this idea, and that if the feds did stuff to us, they might kind of, it might, like he's saying, kind of galvanizing the citizens. So I think it's probably worse than this guy thinks. I kind of agree more with Mark on this, but it's kind of interesting that he thinks it's not as bad as Mark is laying out. So then he said another similar. So here's another couple paragraphs from him a few days later or something. One thing that I thought of just minutes after posting earlier, any attempt to isolate us from the rest of the U.S. would result in friends and family who would not be able to communicate with us, you know, if the bad guys are controlling the communication satellites. The free mm-hmm. corridor from Massachusetts to Maine would have to be closed. See, we've discussed that the idea that if we left the U.S., we would leave a way for them to have a corridor, you know, from Massachusetts to Maine. And if the Fed was cutting off our border, then that would be cutting that off. It would have to be closed. Friends and families could not get in to visit us. In short, it would become like the Berlin Wall or the borders between Russia and America or France, parts of Europe after the war. It would bring a huge outcry against the U.S. government. They would likely be assailed from both inside and outside the state. They would be faced with possible secession of other states that are thinking about it, and the president at the time might even be impeached and removed from office. What do you think of that?
Now, that could be a fun, or maybe not so fun, but an interesting possibility, because, you know, we're coming up to an election cycle right now. We're coming up to an election year here in the United States. And, you know, they're usually hotly contested, but it seems more and more the polarization has gotten to the point where they're very hotly contested. And we could very well see that happen here in the United States, where New Hampshire breaks away, communications are cut off, and all of a sudden, other states are like, you know, it's time to leave. and we need to get rid of that man in the White House.
Yeah. See, I don't know how they'd be able to cut off communications very well. I don't know. I mean, both sides of this Russian-Ukraine war seem to be able to talk to the rest of the world. But we'll see. We're also we're smaller than Ukraine or Russia. So the other thing that I thought of with this is, yes, if the United States wanted to have that, you know, wanted to really lock us in, well, they'd have to put up some serious borders. I mean, if they wanted to keep us from leaving or people coming in here, I mean, that's a big border between us, you know, a little border between us and Canada, you know, like 100 miles or so of border between us and Vermont, and almost the same with Maine. And, you know, like almost 100, you know, like 70, 80 miles of border with Massachusetts. I mean, it's, you know, are you going to put up big walls? I mean, it's hard to picture that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've never had anything like that around here. And, you know, I don't know how they would be able to, you know, I can't picture how that would be comical. It would be like a World War II movie. So then here's another response that Mark Edge put in. He says, I'm happy to quibble about any given point. No one can truly say what will happen. My concern is the happy-go-lucky people that deny that anything bad will happen, that the transition won't absolutely wreck New Hampshire economy for at least a decade. One thing that is a bit more outlandish is the U.S. might encourage Canada to invade. Neither country is likely to want a new state, and Canada already put down the truckers, and regardless of the consequences. Canada openly spies on U.S. citizens for the NSA who can't do it legally. Why not step it up and roll in tanks? Would Canadians fire if fired on by the U.S.? It doesn't seem impossible. What do you think of that?
I mean, sure, but let's be realistic. The truckers in Canada kind of weren't prepared. They're not used to civil disobedience like a lot of Americans are, so they definitely back down a lot easier. And then, like I said earlier, you know, false flags can happen. A U.S. where someone could claim to be a New Hampshire resident, fire on someone in Canada and create some war. So, I mean, yeah, I agree that let's not be happy-go-lucky people and pretend this is going to be honky-dory and everything's going to go fine. If we leave the United States, it's going to be peaceful. No one's going to argue about it. No, there's going to be arguing about it. So let's prepare for those arguments. We're having this discussion now. Let's prepare for that possibility. But also, let's not hold to the idea that fear and doom and gloom are going to stop New Hampshire from secession.
Mm-hmm. So here's a big response from that Leif Alexander guy. I think they might do a lot of things. I just think that in the long run, things will work out in favor of the secessionists, assuming that we have overwhelming support from the citizens of New Hampshire. Without the support from the overwhelming majority, those who voted for secession would have their hands full trying to run a country without the support of a significant majority of the people. Personally, I think we should include an item in any constitutional amendment or law that says we need 75% or even 80% voter approval, not a simple 67. Now, I'll stop there to mention, maybe not everybody would know that right now, if we secede because of a constitutional amendment, it has to pass the House by quite a bit. It has to pass the Senate by quite a bit, you know, 60-70%. And then it has to go to the voters who have to vote it through at 60-70%. And then it has to be the, you know, like the executive council or the governor has to sign off on it. So that's what I think he's referencing, not, you know, that it'd be 67%. Yeah. To me, that wouldn't be that much different. If we got through all of that and it passed, I mean, unless it only passed at barely 67%, I think we'd already be at the numbers he's talking about. Plus, by the time that happens, people will have moved here. People will have moved out of here. A lot of fighting and scrapping and talking and jabbering would have gone on to get to this point. You know what I mean? I think a lot of this stuff will have settled itself out a lot by the time it got to that part. Don't you think?
I would think so.
And then, of course, you know, it'd be nice to have everybody on board. But, you know, the New Hampshire was able to get the British to back off during the Revolutionary War, and they didn't have 80% support, I don't think.
And
even with not that, you know, even with plenty of people backing the other side, the British said, okay, this isn't worth it, right? So here's some more he wrote. As to financial situation, there would be considerable difficulties at first. I think that we should become financially independent prior to any secession vote. I also think that we should have our own banking system, phone and internet connections that will work without the satellites, and a communication system that will be able to contact a network outside of the state, perhaps ham radio operators or other radio and television too. Those signals will cross state boundaries and can be operated from regular towers like the old days. I would say that plans should be made for these things, but if implemented too early, would probably stimulate federal action against us as a precautionary or preemptive strike on their part. We should probably make sure that there is enough food available to at least last over the winter, canned food or whatever. We would also want to have internally available energy systems in place. We can do without gas, but electric is important. There's nothing gas can do that electric can't. We should also have plans and personnel in place in case of an invasion from anywhere. Civil defense might be extremely important. We should also be able to easily and quickly put in place the way that commercial institutions react. Large companies like Walmart would have to be able to immediately incorporate in the new country, and actually those plans would probably need to be already enacted by the day following the vote, i.e. something that says that they will take effect immediately upon a passing vote. Border crossings would also have to be manned prior to the vote so that any passing vote will trigger an immediate transfer of control to New Hampshire. There are other things I'm sure, and I hope the secession study bill passes so that we can begin doing at least some of these things now. What do you think of all that?
I mean, these are all good suggestions, like having your own banking system, communication systems, things like that. Because we don't know what's going to happen. I think all these are things are really important. So definitely be prepared. Definitely be prepared for everything. At the same time, I don't know if communications would be cut off to us because it just looked really bad. And yeah, definitely have some preparedness. I'm looking forward to seeing if anything regarding New Hampshire secession passes. I mean, I think the most likely thing to pass might be the study committee. The least likely would be the $40 trillion debt thing where we amend the Constitution or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it, definitely preparedness is important.
Yeah, it's also for me, I'm not thinking that we have to have a central version of all these things.
Yeah,
I think we should have, you know, people are going to want to set up ways for us to bank, as you know, transfer money and things like that. And that, but I don't think that has to be the state of New Hampshire and the country of New Hampshire doing that. And also between now and when we do secession, we're going to have a lot of things that we're planning and scheming as we go along, as we get closer and closer. I mean, can you imagine what kind of plans go into place after the House and Senate pass this? And then, you know, next year, then we're voting on it. You know, think about how much planning we'd do. Or like after, if we successfully had people pass this, then the time that goes by before the governor signs off on it, right? We're going to be thinking of a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, for me also, I would want to do this whether or not we have all those things in place. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect for me to still not want to be part of the empire. Because for me, it's the thing of how do I get myself out of these wars? How do I stop doing that? And even if it's messy, you know, we don't know how all these things are going to go. But yeah, there's, I mean, right now, New Hampshire is part of an electric grid that includes other states. Well, obviously, if we're separate, unless the United States is being friendly with us, we're going to have to figure that kind of stuff out. Well, yeah, there's ways to do all that, you know, and there's a lot of, so many people want electricity. There's a lot of money that can be spent on that to make things work. You know, it's, we can figure that out. But so I thought that was interesting. Some people in other places reacted to this thinking that Mark was being a little too worried or this or that. I think that all the stuff he thinks might happen, I think that stuff might happen.
I think he's just being realistic, and I think he might be more right than he realizes, but at the same time, you know, let's still try anyway. Let's push for it, because what do we have to lose?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm going to go through some of my things, the other things that are going to go in my next blog post. So one of the things that happened since our last talking session here, recording, was that Matt Sanastazzo's proposed bill, the summary reads, it has wording from the government now, this the summary, and it has an official number now. So the number for it is going to be HB1130, which I think stands for House Bill.
Yep.
1130. So that's what we're going to be referring to it all the way till when it passes, right? So that's how it'll be referred to in January or February when it gets in the committee, and then on that front. So we have HB 1130. We don't have the official number for the secession CACR yet. So what they said is, the summary of it is establishing a commission to study the economic, legal, and sociological aspects of New Hampshire exerting its sovereign state rights. And this was found at a website that grabs the stuff from the state. So it's called Legiscan, LegisCan.com. Legiscan.com slash NH slash bill slash HB 1130 slash 2024 for 2024. So it's going to be easy to find that link and stuff like that. I think I got that because Matt C. from the PAC, New Hampshire Independence PAC, posted that, because he's the one keeping track of that sort of stuff closer. There's been some talk of, you know, Texas is now the Texit guys, the Texas National Movement guys, headed up by Daniel Miller. They have successfully gotten enough signatures to force the GOP, the Republicans of Texas, to put a petition or referendum on the Republican ballot for like March. So that's, so there's going to be on their ballot for half the people in Texas, right, are going to be looking at this thing saying, should we leave? Yeah. So that's been bringing up some hubbub this week, which has been good. And then some of us are talking about who's going to leave first, New Hampshire or Texas or whatever. So in response to that, I pulled up a quote from the New Hampshire government, looking back in history. And it says, just as it was the first to declare its independence and adopt its own constitution, such and such. That's kind of where Dave Ridley got the phrase. Some of us have used that phrase, first before, first again, because New Hampshire was the first one to declare it independence, and it was the first one to make its own, you know, state or country constitution. So that's what, yeah, we figure we're going to be first. The guys in Texas think they have some special stuff, but we do too. We're crazy that way. Another thing that was interesting was in regard to the border. If it's not a horribly, you know, if it's not a real messy situation between us and the U.S., but there's still border issues, is it's interesting looking at what happened to the border between the U.K. and Ireland after they left, after Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look up the Brexit and Irish border on Wikipedia, that's an interesting article because it was something that came up. Because when one of those two countries stopped being in the EU in certain ways, right, then they had to deal with having a border crossing, whereas they had kind of de-escalated the complications there. So I thought that was interesting in regards to what might happen with us. Another thing that I posted, well, if anybody's listening to this, they will have heard this. I reposted the Mises thing about how you're paying the Israel war and you'll also be paying for the refugees, you know, which is true. I mean, they're expecting, the U.S. taxpayers are paying for the war in Israel, and then we're also going to be paying for whatever happens to these refugees. Whether they get moved to another country, moved here, get their own country, whatever. Every time these nation-building things happen or nation-rearranging things, it gets really expensive. And somehow we're all supposed to pay for it. And none of us get to say anything about it. Another thing that I brought up this week was about how, you know, when people think that we can't leave, bringing up the idea of what happened when Norway left Sweden. That happened in like 1905 or something like that. And that happened. I mean, Norway was part of Sweden for like a couple hundred years there, you know, and now they've been apart for 100 years. And they, you know, obviously there was a lot of tension to build up to that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been separate. I mean, they wouldn't have been all together. Mm-hmm. But they've been able to get along. Their border, there's places. I hope the northern Norwegian-Swedish border will look like, I hope our border will look like that. In some places, there is nothing. Yeah. You know, there is nothing. There's just woods and nobody cares.
Right.
So let's, what's another one? I think I might have run through some of my, yes, I've run through my stuff.
Okay.
I am starting to do recordings of interviews with people. I will do bear arms this week, but and I have a list of people that I'm going to be asking to talk to, but if somebody wants to contact me and do an interview, then we can talk any Chexit or that sort of stuff or cool things that are happening in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And we can talk about that. I think, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't have anything else I want to talk about. I'm excited to see how New Hampshire independence goes this year, and hopefully we get some amendments or resolutions or bills passed, because that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be an interesting mixture. So the next thing that we'll be wanting to do is support these two bills in their committees. That'll be interesting if we can make that a big hubbub. So we'll talk about that as it gets closer and closer.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later, Riley.
Yeah, later.
Bye.
Bye.